Dedicated to the survival of American democracy in an increasingly dangerous world, this is Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney, acted as Assistant Secretary of Defense for International Security Policy under President Ronald Reagan, founder and president of the Center for Security Policy in Washington, D.C., the go-to man for defense and foreign policy issues, joined by the greatest minds in the security policy business, the special forces in the war of ideas at Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome to Secure Freedom Radio. This is Frank Gaffney, your host and guide for what I think of as an intelligence briefing on the war for the free world. I have been impressed for a long time by the uncommon intelligence, the extraordinary gift for communicating it, and the effectiveness of its application by our first guest. She is Carolyn Glick, these days the director of the David Horowitz Freedom Center's Israel Security Project, a senior contributing editor at the Jerusalem Post, very pleased to say, an adjunct senior fellow for Middle Eastern Affairs at the Center for Security Policy, and the author of a tremendously important book, The Israel Solution, a One-State Plan for Peace in the Middle East. Also, by the way, another shackled warrior, Israel and the Global Jihad. Carolyn Glick, welcome back. It's so good to have you.
It's great to be on the program again, Frank.
Well, as luck has it, we scheduled this conversation with you in advance of Shimon Peres's passing, but he has now, well, gone on to other things. If you would give us your take on his legacy in Israel and in the world.
Well, I think that Shimon Peres, over the past 25 years, more or less, represented a strain in Israeli thinking that was very Western-oriented and purely Eurocentric, that believed that Israel was rightfully part of the West, and that in order to develop or rebuild European support for Israel, which collapsed in 1973 after the OPEC oil embargo, that the way to do it was by trying to make a deal with the PLO and make other deals with surrounding Arab nations like Syria under Bashar Assad by transferring the Golan Heights to Syrian control. I think his legacy is that of an Israeli sort of a subversion of the Israeli political system by European countries and by the American left, that Israel has really been trying to extricate itself from for the past decade and a half, and with growing success. So I'm not sure how long this legacy is going to outlive him, but it's certainly been destructive for Israel from a strategic perspective and also from an international perspective in terms of its position vis-a-vis the United States and the West. So I think that his legacy has been debilitating for Israel, but thanks to the wisdom and ingenuity of the Israeli people and its ability to learn lessons from mistakes and move on, it would appear that his legacy will not be as longstanding as his supporters believe it will be.
You have, as I mentioned, written a very important book about the one-state plan for peace in the Middle East, the Israel Solution. You have also, I think, called attention to the fact that Rudy Giuliani, now an influential advisor to Donald Trump, has called for dispensing with this approach. Tie that in, if you would, to your assessment of how do you see that piece of the history of recent Israeli-American negotiations and those with Israel's enemies sorting itself out?
The first third of my book, or maybe even half of my book, is talking about why the so-called two-state solution that Shimon Peres embraced and championed since 1993 is a failure and has always been a failure and will always be a failure. There's just simply no way of making it work because the Arabs, the Palestinian Arabs of eastern Israel and Gaza, are not interested in making peace with Israel. So you can't buy peace by giving them part of Israel. They will only use it as a means towards destroying Israel altogether. So that's why it's never worked, and that's why it doesn't work now, and that's why it won't work in the future. And you really had to suspend this belief in order to embrace it, which is something that Shimon Peres did with some alacrity for the past quarter century. And I think that it's really important that we see this reassessment of the viability of this plan, particularly by the Republicans. I mean, this was a bipartisan delusion in the United States that everybody had agreed that what was really needed was for Israel to give land to Arabs and develop another Arab state, another failed Arab state, west of the Jordan River, directly abutting Israel's major population centers. So I think it's extremely important that you're seeing these kinds of statements coming out of the Trump camp. And I think that Donald Trump himself has made some statements to that effect. And I'm very hopeful that we're going to see a reassessment of this by the United States. Because I have to say that President Obama's continued embrace of it, which we saw most recently in his speech before the UN General Assembly, in the face of the wider collapse of America's Middle Eastern policy and the singular collapse of the two-state policy, is a discredit to the United States. It's embarrassing for Americans that their leaders continue to really center their efforts in the Middle East on this, this failed policy.
Give us a flavor of what you think the president is up to at the UN and where it's likely to lead.
Well, I think that you are right, that you are seeing a doubling down on this kind of insanity on the part of the United States. And this is not only in regards, by the way, to the Palestinians. It's also we see in regards to John Kerry's humiliation of himself and of the United States in general with his wooing of Russia that's just spitting on him all the time regarding Syria and Aleppo. You're seeing the United States has completely missed the game, what's going on, ignored it, and brought about a situation where Russia is now in a position in Syria to challenge American military supremacy in the Eastern Mediterranean for the first time ever. And this is a colossal strategic disaster for the United States. So I think that you're seeing this doubling down on the Palestinian front, which is really a side issue and shouldn't be of concern to anybody in American governing circles, really. At the same time, as you're seeing a wider sort of deterioration into madness of America's Middle Eastern policy, more broadly speaking. It's actually quite, you know, devastating. I think it's devastating for Israel on a number of levels, but it's also devastating to the United States, and it would be somewhat comforting if we could possibly believe that Shimon Peres' exit from the scene could be the first step towards an American foreign policy, a new American foreign policy that abandons the delusions of Peres and his ilk in the American foreign policy community, and instead based it on American interests and on the realities on the ground, really, in the Middle East.
So, Claire, very quickly, can you game out what you think Obama's going to try to do with the UN? Is it endorsing a French resolution that will essentially recognize a Palestinian state without regard to negotiations with Israel?
You know, it would seem that way. I mean, I think the fact that Netanyahu was keen to get Secretary Clinton's statement on record that she opposes the moves of the Security Council on the issue was part of a of just sort of the last-ditch efforts on Israel's side, not that we can do much to prevent Obama from going in that direction. But he does seem to be interested in harming Israel and not... it has to be clear that this is pure vindictiveness on the president's part, because he knows full well that this isn't going to lead to any good conclusion for the Palestinians or for anybody else for that matter. And this is really just pure vindictiveness on his part towards Israel, and therefore I'm not sure that Israel can do anything to prevent it from happening.
Well, let us hope that we will here in the United States. Carolyn Glick, your analysis and assessments and insights are so appreciated. I can't tell you how much we value our long association with you and the work you continue to do at the David Horowitz Freedom Center and, of course, at the Jerusalem Post. Thanks for your two books, The Israeli Solution and Shackled Warrior. We'll talk with you again, I hope, very soon. Next up, we'll talk with Diana West about the debate and what we've learned about Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton and more. Straight ahead.
Visit us at facebook.com/securefreedom with Frank Gaffney.